Welcome to Truest Blood, the official True Blood podcast.
I'm Kristen Bauer.
And I'm Deborah Ann Wohl.
And you've been invited in. I want to do bad things with you.
On Truest Blood. Welcome back to Truest Blood, where we sink our fangs into the series bite by bite.
This week, on this episode, we're speaking with Kevin Alejandro, who gives an inspiring performance as Jesus Velasquez. He opens our minds and our hearts with such compassion and fearlessness. And we can just so easily see how Lafayette might fall in love with such a catch.
This is probably one of my favorite relationships on the series, Lafayette and
yes.
Jesus. And so much is due to these two actors who I think similarly, just have, again, these huge hearts and you feel them beating through the screen.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. And the magic that is the storyline, the arena that they're in, is in their relationship. It's on screen. It's absolutely beautiful.
Can't wait for you to hear from him. But first, let's have a quick bite.
Psychology
and magic.
At first glance, Jesus Velasquez appears to embody a contradiction. The science of psychology and the craft of magic can't possibly reconcile in one philosophy. Psychology rooted firmly in the logical and magic rooted in the spiritual. But perhaps they have more in common than we give them credit for.
In magic, a practitioner believes in the power of nature and the opening of one's senses to a higher awareness. In this, the supernatural resides in a deeper connection to the natural. Rituals, totems, herbal effects all help prepare the spirit for greater clarity.
In psychology, a practitioner believes in the power of the mind and opening one's awareness to the unconscious. In this, enlightenment resides in a deeper understanding of oneself and the world. Analysis, hypnosis, and medicine are used to help prepare the consciousness for greater clarity.
They share a few key traits in common. Belief is the first. We credit placebo effects and psychosomatic disease with the power of deep psychological belief. And magical rituals are only as powerful as the belief of the practitioner.
Medical assistance is the second, be that pharmaceutical or herbal remedies. Both seek to either regulate or expand one's consciousness. And the third is healing. Ultimately, the goal of both practices, and yes, they both identify as a practice, is to improve the life and well-being of an individual.
Indeed, we would all be lucky to have a multifaceted man like Jesus in our lives.
Kevin Alejandro played the caring, sexy, multi-layered and extraordinarily challenging role of Jesus. His storyline ends in one of the most heartbreaking deaths of the series at the hands of his own love, Lafayette.
Yeah, and apart from True Blood, Kevin has also starred in so many shows. I think there is 70-some listed
he's
on IMDb.
Prolific actors.
He's one of those. He was on Lucifer forever. Also, The Arrow, The Return, Sons of Anarchy, Grey's Anatomy. The list goes on and on. He's currently on Fire Country.
He also writes, he produces, he directs, he dances. And in some productions, he's doing multiple of those, like The Keepers, which, fun fact, Mariana Claveno also acted in.
I always appreciate an artist who has such a huge heart and cares about others and gives back, which he does. He's such a talent. He's such a darn good human being. I can't wait for everyone to hear this interview. It was incredibly moving for me and Deb.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Deborah.
Kevin!
We're so excited to have you.
Here
Thank
we are.
You for coming.
Oh, my gosh. gosh. It's so, so, so good to see you.
Good to see you guys, too. It's been way too long.
We were saying it's been a long time, although we've seen your face all over the industry. Yeah. I mean, you are a nonstop working kind of actor.
I've been very lucky in this business. Hopefully, it continues to move forward, onward, and upward.
Yeah. Well, I always jump in to start with, we love to hear our casting stories. So, you know, how did you get this job? How did you come to join the True Blood family?
Yeah, you know, it was, you know, a pretty cool process. Like, I auditioned a couple times and, you know, for the callbacks and stuff like that. And I think I heard a rumor that Alan Ball was in the, he was in the room for my auditions and was having a little bit of difficulty seeing me in that world.
Huh.
He was like, I guess he'd said, I don't know how a person who looks like that would be in this world or something like that. Something similar to that.
Just too pretty, is it?
Because I'm super handsome.
Just too handsome.
I was just too handsome.
Yeah, you were too handsome. Let's just say it.
So, right. And then they ended up deciding to have a chemistry read. And Nelson Ellis was there for the chemistry read, obviously.
Yeah.
And so we went in and it was like, it was one of our first scenes where we were kind of flirting at a bar and we're playing pool together. It was like our first kind of date. And that was the big scene. And so we're there and we did it, you know, as you all know, Nelson's pretty shy-ish and quiet. Yes. And, you know, we did our thing. And in the middle of it, we started to improv and just sort of bouncing off of each other. And we had mad chemistry, he and I. And at the end of it, like, as I'm walking out the door, Nelson goes, well, I mean, that's the guy.
Amazing.
And they're like, and everyone else is quiet. It's like, cut it out, cut it out. I walked out of there feeling pretty good hearing him say those words.
That makes me weepy.
And then
that was
the
it.
The start of really one of the most beautiful relationships on the show. I mean, we just fawn over it every time you
guys are on screen. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, I think there were, you know, it was a bold choice for a heterosexual, a Mexican heterosexual to come in and play a homosexual. And but I never even thought of it that way. Like I'm an actor, you know, we're all actors. We can do anything. So we think, but it was really beautiful. Like on my first day, my first day on set, I'm in my trailer. I'm getting ready. I'm wearing my white scrubs. It's the first time we're going to do our big scene together. And Nelson came to my door. I heard this like really light little knock. Answer, and he's just there, and he was like, "Hey, man, I just want to say that I'm really happy that it's you. I had such a good time." You know, in the audition, and I stood up for you and was like, that's my guy. So, and you know, just kind of put me in the right shoes for the day.
Yeah.
That's so sweet, because a lot of us, well, most of us, probably Anna and Steven did chemistry reads, but I met my maker, you know, at like 2 a.m. in Long Beach. And I was like, hi, what's your name? You know? And then you create, and you're lucky if that chemistry then grows naturally between you two. But you actually, that got you the role. And then it, of course, grew and was evident on screen. That's so sweet.
Yeah, yeah. So it was a really cool, and it was actually very intimidating too, you know? Because my wife was a huge follower of the show before I even got the audition. And I was like, yeah, I'm auditioning for this thing called True Blood. And she was like, no, you're not. You have to get it. You have to get it. And then, of course, we binged. Yeah. And then, of course, we watched everything together. And I was like, all right. Yeah. I think I can. I'm going to do my best, babe.
Yeah.
I'm going to do my best. And we did it. And, you know, as you know, it's like, I think I came in second season?
I think third and fourth is sort of
third and fourth,
where we're at now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So to walk into that room and knowing everyone's characters already and going for the first table read, I was like, oh, crap. I hope they didn't make a mistake.
You know? Right.
But it was really intimidating to see everyone like,
the table reads were a thing.
They were a thing because there were 150 of us in there.
Yeah, there were. I mean, it was actually like a 6 tables read. You know, they put so many tables together. Mm-hmm. And the network would be there. HBO, you know, they were the creative outlet for all of us, you know. And then Alan Ball was sitting at the head of the table, and the whole cast, pretty much people really didn't miss table reads. That was intense. And you were saying before we were rolling about your kid would come. That's so sweet sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. So at the time, I can't remember how old. So my kid's name is Caden. He's now 15 years old. But I think at the time he was probably like 6 or 7 or something like that. And, you know, there were a couple times where I'd have to bring them just because of, you know, not having someone to watch them. Yeah. You guys know, Deborah, you got a new baby. You're getting it. So I'd bring them and I was like, okay, look, here's the deal. Our table reads, they have cuss words and they have like scary talk and, you know, sexy talk and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, okay, here's the plan. You just sit under the table and you close your ears and you just sort of like, just be there with me, kind of chilling out until this is done. He's like, okay, Dad, okay. So he does. And, you know, little did I know, there was Ryan Quanten sitting right across from me. Uh-huh. And my kid's like going back and forth and he's like playing with him and kicking him and stuff like that. And slowly handing him like highlighters and markers and pens. And at the end of the table read, he comes out and he's got markers and pens and highlighter all over his face and in his ears. And I was like, thanks, Ryan. Thanks, bro. Appreciate that.
Oh, that's so cute.
It was great. But Caden was like, he's always been sort of just aware of things, right?
Yeah.
A really funny thing that he would do, like when the show was out and, you know, obviously they did a great job with the press, with the posters and the buses and all of that stuff. Every time he would see a True Blood poster, he would see Nelson and he would go, doesn't matter who's around, he'd go, hey, Dad, there's your boyfriend. There's your boyfriend, Dad. Say, yep, that's him.
That's him.
Oh, my TV gosh. Boyfriend.
My TV boyfriend.
But I mean, what a boyfriend to have.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, clearly we all see it watching Nelson's performances, but also having the experience of working with him. I mean, just anything you can share about building that relationship and, you know, did you guys have a process together or was it just sparks? You know, how does that
happen? Yeah, no, that's a great question. Obviously, there were definitely sparks in the audition, in the chemistry read. But later after everything was settled and I was the guy, I remember one day Nelson came over to my house out in Venice and we sat there and sort of talked about our characters. And, you know, I depending on the role, I have different processes. We have different processes, you know? Yeah. And this one was one where I had to create, where I felt the need to create a big backstory. And I write it out. I wrote where I was born, what was going on, who I was, how many relationships I'd had up until then, how difficult it was to come out.
Yeah.
Did I come out? Or did he, you know, Jesus come out to his family, you know, because I am Mexican and it's back in those days, it was a very difficult thing to even discuss in a family like that. And it was really beautiful. Like it was one of those thick notebooks and it was paragraph after paragraph. And we went through it and he was like, damn, dude, you do your work. and we did it together and he was just the coolest, greatest, like most supportive actor. Like anyone who got to share a scene with him, I'm certain felt lucky because he was a true transformer, you know? Yeah. I really like and miss that guy.
Yeah. Well, but also while still maintaining his heart, like there are some people who they talk about like disappear into roles. Mm-hmm. Nelson, as I watch him and the little bit that I knew him, while he transforms, I still see him.
Yeah.
And it's that beautiful. That's the hardest thing to do, I think.
Absolutely.
Is his heart is so alive, even if he is behaviorally maybe different than he is. It's remarkable.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. That is a hard thing to do. And, you know, I think a lot of us try to do that, like yeah. in order to relate to it, you have to find some sort of your own, your own heartbeat
right.
within that person to make them real to you so that they're real to someone else, you know?
Yeah.
And he seemed to be a master at that.
Yeah. And you too. You know, when I watch Jesus, I feel the same way about your performance as him. That and it's such a special chemistry between you two because we have that. And what were the challenges of that? You had some, I think it helps, of course, that you had that natural spark with Nelson. Yeah. But you had some really challenging sequences.
Oh,
I mean, the places you had to go and the arcs and the commitment. There's a lot in True Blood where you have to just commit and risk feeling stupid on set.
We talk a lot about commitment.
Right. You just have to go for it and whatever. And Deb has witnessed me looking stupid and we've talked about that. But you just have to go for it. And you had so many challenging sequences. And I heard about one of your hallucinations. You two were like strapped together and a camera was strapped to you. What were those challenges and experiences?
Well, that was great. We did some blood together. And so, I mean, you know, without sharing too much, I mean, you pull from whatever experiences that might sort of loosely relate to a situation like that.
Loosely. Things you read about.
I mean, okay, I used to do a lot of blood.
Right.
So, yeah, but that was fun too. Like, just the way they created was this sort of harness that harnessed both of us together. It was like a 2x4 kind of thing with some arms that stuck out that mounted the camera directly in front of us. So we were there. It was actually a dance, you know, once we were strapped together, there was no, we had to move in sync. It was like,
wow.
1-2 cha-cha-cha kind of moment. And I feel like we felt like children. I mean, that's really what it is. When you go on that, it's like you lose all your inhibitions. You just play. You're playing in a playground. It's like, look at all this stuff. You know, look at this cool thing. What can I do with it? How can we do it together?
Yeah. Okay.
And it was more of two kids playing on the playground with a camera strapped to us.
Oh, my gosh. You
know? Because it from our side, it looks like the Haunted Mansion, right? Like, it looks like that kind of jostling ride that you're on. And you really are like, oh, and then that popped out. You know, it has that fun quality. And I do think so much of that that feeling comes from the joy, actually, that's coming off of you, too.
Absolutely.
But then on top of that, to have these incredibly intense emotional arcs as well to go through. And I was thinking about Jesus particularly because you started as sort of a new figure in Lafayette's life, but we learned so much of your backstory and where you came from and how you came to be who you are through the storytelling. And now knowing that you wrote a lot of backstory, that's always something interesting to me, that when you're doing a TV show, you don't get to know everything.
Right.
So you make up a lot of things, but that might have to shift or change as the writers add to that canon. So I'm so curious for you what that process was, learning who Jesus was as you were going along.
Yeah. You know, it was really, you know, what's really great, as you guys know, when you get to be part of a family of actors and a troupe of players, and you learn to trust each other.
Yeah.
That's where the real magic happens, you know? So I felt comfortable talking about things that I had experienced in my life. You know, I do have family members who are witches, you know, and who do, you know.
Magics
magic, sort of spells. I don't want to, just that seems to like sort of underplay the importance of what they believe, the rituals. You know, so being able to share those little experiences and having people listen to them and having a touch, hopefully my experiences helped inspire a word, helped inspire a scenario, you know? And now that I'm on this new show, you know, that process in True Blood has helped me sort of have the confidence to sort of speak up and help build a character. Because when we first come out, and with my experience anyways, you just want to do what you have to do, and you want to follow the rules, and you want to just make sure that everything that you're getting everything they want, right? And there comes a point where you also want to get what you want as well.
Yes.
And having the confidence and education to be able to do that is important. And then, you know, now I'm almost 50. I'm 47 years old, but that was the beginning of, oh, hey, I also have a voice.
Yeah.
That someone will listen to, you know? And I think, you know, being able to be a decent human being and being able to articulate and have a conversation with somebody at a higher level, at a real level, was eye-opening for me.
True collaboration.
Yeah.
I have a question that's sort of not really True Blood related, but selfish, because it, from what you just said, somehow you have expanded that desire to fulfill your inner world in the outer world. You've been directing. You directed on Lucifer. You've been producing, writing. You're also a dancer and played football. But I Googled you. But that's so... We've been Googling. I wrote down like, wait, how does this happen? Because I struggle to even ask for some better lighting, right? But how does this happen that somebody is like, hey, I actually also want to fulfill the desire to direct. I also want to write. And then you share your writing and then somehow other people get on board and do stuff with that. And like, how does that happen? I need you to personally tell me how to do that, Kevin.
Well, it's, you know, just to piggyback a little bit more off of what I said, it's that it starts with that trust, right?
Right.
And curiosity, you have to be curious and then have the courage to follow the curiosity and to ask those questions. And, you know, for me, it started off with when my wife and I realized we were having a baby. And the time got closer, she bought me this little JVC camera so that I can film some stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, and through that, I started becoming more and more inspired to shoot things. And I would make little short films on them, you know, just to sort of like exercise my ability to tell stories. And it was on the show that I was on for 6 seasons, Lucifer, where that curiosity really, really started to sort of come to the forefront.
Okay.
And and through those, really, I respected most everybody on that show. And my two favorite directors, which was Nathan Hope and Karen Gaviola, I would pick their brains all the time. And then eventually just started to ask if I could shadow them. Like producing wasn't even something in my mind. You know, it was all the directing. I was like, I want to learn more. And they let me shadow them and shadow them more. And eventually I was having so much fun shadowing that other people started to see how much fun I was having and then started to ask, hey, I want to shadow too. And I was shadowing Karen Gaviola. And we were like on our 3rd or 4th day of prep. We just got back from a location scout and she calls me into her office and, you know, she sort of has that sort of Libby Goldstein crass to her as well, you know? And I'm sitting across from her and she's like, Kevin, I just got to tell you, your success is also your demise. I'm going to have to fire you. You can't shadow anymore. I'm like, what did I do? She's like, no, it's not you. It's just like too many people are trying to do this. So now they're changing the rules. You can't shadow anymore unless you go through the Warner Brothers director's program. And I was like, wow, okay. All right. So what's that information?
Right.
And she goes, well, you don't really have much time. I hit the deadline's in like 4 or 5 days. I was like, maybe, you know, but maybe next year or whatever. Mm. And I was like, yeah, all right, that's cool. Let me just, can I just look at the, just tell me where to find the information. I'll just look at it. And, you know, so I'll get ready for the next year. A little heartbroken. And I went through it and I looked at it and I was like, you had to have already had like an episode of television, a feature film, you know, like something like, and I was like, right. I had none of that, but I did have my JVC camera and all the little short films that I had shot before. So I was like, I did a web series that a friend of mine wrote that I shot on like a Canon 5D like a years ago. And I was like, that's my version of a television show. So, and then I was, and I did some short films and I was like, that's my version of a feature. So I just like submitted it anyways, got some good letters of recommendations from both Karen and Nathan Hope. And they kind of pushed for me. Because they saw how passionate I was becoming for that part of the art. And I got in.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
In 4 days. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I mean, isn't that, A, it's so silly that someone who would be asking to shadow already has to be a director, right? You have to have an episode of television.
It was Catch-22.
That's, that is our entire industry. But also good for you for following that curiosity. I mean, that's so important in our own personal mental health to be curious about what's happening in our inner world as opposed to panicked about it. Curious about what our passions are. So I applaud you because I could see in my internet stalking of you that you're doing a lot and you're expressing yourself in so many different areas and ways. And it's really great to see. It's just so wonderful.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah. It's, you know, it's the growth that we all sort of want and deserve.
Yeah.
You know, that's the key, is knowing that you deserve growth and knowing that you deserve the things that come to you. And then, you know, having the stick-to-itiveness to follow that and move forward, you know, and and that just spawned, like, that whole directing experience spawned a whole growth like of longevity that I want. I'm obsessed with this business, with our art, you know. I come from the theater, so I do have that work ethic. I think people who come from the theater have a different sort of edge. And a leg up if you learn how to harness it and use it. And so, you know, I don't want anything to stop me from doing what we do. So that's what inspired, you know, writing my own stuff and then inspiring, you know, I want to make more and I want to make it at a higher level. So started a production company with my wife and her sister, who was a producer for another production company years ago. And she had quit that and went to teach high school in Hawaii and was like, you know, 12 years later was like, I want to get back into the business. And I was like, well, I want to start a business. So do you want to do it? And she was like, okay, let's do it. So, you know, Alejandro Films, it's all about family, you know, and telling culturally diverse stories, specifically Filipino and Latin stories. And, you know, we are doing everything that we can to share our voices in that way.
Amazing.
Together as a family, you know.
Yeah, so wonderful. Yeah. I'm wondering also, because I saw that you, because I'm thinking of things that have come from this True Blood experience, you also speak up for the Trevor Project and gay rights. Is that something that happened from playing a gay character?
Well, you know what? Playing a gay character helped push it to the forefront. It's something that I've always cared about. The majority of my friends and family that, you know, in my adult life are and do struggle with fitting in, you know, being who they are, having a voice. These days it's changing, you know. Obviously we all know the movement has been heard. So it's very important to me, you know. My wife's best friends, who are now my best friends, you know, my wife and I, we got married. It was like we knew we were meant to be together because, for lack of better words, the gays love us. We love the gays. we decided, you know, we were putting together our wedding and like, you know, how do we do this? And it's expensive and blah, blah, blah. So we decided we're going to elope. And so right, let's put a halt on all the plans and let's just go to San Francisco. Let's elope. You know, all of our friends are out there and, you know, we'll just experience it and just have a party for ourselves. Yeah. And so we did, and we didn't realize what day it was. It was the first time that they had opened up City Hall on Valentine's Day.
Oh, okay.
And so we got married on Valentine's Day out there, and we jumped in the cab from our hotel. I was like, yeah, we're going to go to City Hall and we're going to get married. And they're like, oh, wow, you're going to go out there with all those people? And we're like, what do you mean?
Wait, what?
And, but it was also the time where they passed gay marriage.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And so there were people camping out in chairs and spent the night. And we were just like oblivious to it. Before we walked out, I was like, oh my God, we're part of this. Where we got married, and we're part of a movement and the beginning of what that meant.
Oh my gosh.
On that day. And it just all felt correct. It felt right. You know, we're like, we are meant to be together. We're meant to fight for love, and love is love. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
it was
beautiful.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
That's so beautiful. I'm weepy again, Deb.
I know. Well, we have a tear tracker for Kristen because
it's like number three today.
This is all. Yeah, it's very emotional for both of us, really, to go back and think about what all this meant for us and the way that it changed our lives. Every single person we've spoken to talks about True Blood being a pivot point in some regard for their career, their life, something like that. Yeah. One thing I'm curious about asking you, because it's a fascinating trait of Jesus is that you marry so seamlessly. It's this idea of a medical professional, which seems like one side of the spectrum, and then a witch, which feels like the other end of that spectrum. And, you know, on paper, it would seem like, oh, do those two go together? But I think what you do and what the writers did is just marry them beautifully. So they feel like they are both in service of the same thing in, you know, through this person. So yeah, if you can talk to me a little bit about
it's exactly that. I mean, you're right. They both are serving people. They're serving others, right? But if you look into the reason people, witchcraft is like a religion, right? And it's to service your own belief, your own journey in having something to believe in. And if you use it for good, which is what the people that I know in my life, who my aunts, who do it, they do it for good. They do it to heal. They do it for their own practice of whatever it is that they believe in, and how they can reach that other realm of saving someone, saving themselves, and having something to hold on to. And for me, they're the same. You know, one just deals with medicine. The other one deals with your heart, with your soul, with your mind, with your belief, you know, and like we said earlier, you want to lead with your heart, you know, and you want to find your own heartbeat, and they just sort of were the same. I naturally have a I want to take care of you sort of mentality, and I think I was the perfect choice for Jesus because I lead with just my heart. I'm not that smart.
I disagree with you on
I
that.
I lead with my heart. So, and that was very important to show that that's where the choices are coming from. Yeah. That this is who I love. This is how I love. Let me share it with you, accept it or not.
Which now I'm going to get weepy. Leads to, I think, why I think your death on this show is one of the most shocking and devastating on the series. I mean, I was very emotional watching that scene, and everything that you had built and that you and Lafayette or Nelson, you know, Kevin and Nelson, the two of you had built, it just is so striking because we talk about this a lot on the podcast, is that while this is make-believe, there are real feelings, and that chemistry that you spoke of with Nelson, you know, that's there. And so everything that the two of you had built up to that moment, I don't know, I think it's one of the most perfect arcs of a story. And although it ends in something that is so devastating, it says so much about love and what that is and loss. I don't know. And also, what is that experience as an actor to find out that you're going to be leaving this thing that means so much to you?
Yeah, you know, it is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And the important thing is not to judge the situation. Yeah. It's to dive into it and just like you retelling the story sort of chokes you up a little bit. That's what goes through your head when you're in that situation of, I'm about to go down, I'm about to go out. All the flashes of the good stuff happen in those moments, like little flashes of time, little pictures of love and holding and kissing and laughing and, you know, and so you don't have to act.
Yeah.
You have the memories, they're there and they're just coming to the forefront. Like it starts to match your heartbeat. It starts to match your breathing. It starts to go with it. And when you're looking into the other person's eyes who feels the same way, like Nelson did, I feel like Nelson and I genuinely loved each other, you know, and he loved my family and I loved his and, you know, like there was a real connection and we both really did truly feel like we were losing each other.
Yeah.
And I thought from a storyteller's point of perspective, I thought they were brilliant with the way they, that, you know, Nelson had, or Lafayette had to get rid of the one thing that he had, the love that he wanted in his life. And, you know, Jesus was killed by his own person who wasn't his person,
right?
You know, he was possessed. Right. He was, you know, but it was physically there. It was so dynamic and so smart the way they did it and heartbreaking.
It is a jaw dropping scene.
Yeah,
just from a storytelling perspective, and then from an emotional perspective. And you know, Kristen and I had talked about we didn't watch the show when it was out, so a lot of this us watching through it for the podcast is the first time. So I really had like an audience experience of that moment.
And I did
Oh my God, you know, I really understand what the feeling was around that moment because it's enormous and it changes everything. And we just feel for you.
It meant a lot to a lot of people. I mean, to this day, you know, I'm sure you guys get it as well. Every time someone walks up to me, most times it's recognizing me from that show and from that relationship. And it's always sort of a somber sort of like, oh, I loved you on that show, but I loved you guys together. You know, it was so heartbreaking. It made an impact, and that's kind of what we do, right? We want to make an impact not only for ourselves, for our emotional. Well, that's in a sense, it's my therapy. It's, you know, and for a lot of my friends who are actors, what we do is a sense of therapy, and to be able to affect someone in a positive way and in an emotional way is a beautiful thing. We're very lucky to do what we do and call it work.
I know. I know. I couldn't agree more. I'm going to cry for the fifth time, I think, because I was thinking as you were talking, because we've seen each other at events, we've gotten to do some conventions together, and I just get a sense of you. But I was like, wow, this right before you said it, I was like, wow, this guy is the perfect guy to play Jesus. Like what we loved about Jesus on the screen, right now I'm loving about Kevin, and that he's all about love and sharing. And that's why he's expanding himself into directing and producing and writing and with family. I was having this like moment where I'm like, it's all too much. It's all too good. It's all too wonderful to see.
Yeah, to me, it's important. Like, if you don't, it's important to do what we do for you. Know, there's a bit of selfishness that happens with what we do because it is about us. Until we get on into that moment, it becomes it's about ourselves. Until we get into the moment where it's about us and whoever we're supporting in whatever scene or read or whatever it is that we're doing. And for me, it's not worth it if it's just for me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it's worth it. And it makes a difference if it's for, the other person in the room with me, if it's for the person who's watching it, if it's for the person who can, kind of like us, we're sharing our real emotions right now. Like, and we haven't done that in, you know, ever. And this is really beautiful to be able to see how these relationships have affected you guys as well. Being in them.
Yes.
And being on the same show.
And that's what's been extraordinary about talking to everyone is, you know, True Blood was a fun show. We had so much fun and it was fun to watch and it was sexy and it was all of those things. But it's been fun to expose the artistry that so many of us took this very seriously and gave it a tremendous amount of thought and thought about the impact that it would have on our world to see certain scenarios and what that would mean. And
well, that's why it worked.
Yeah.
Because we believed, we made ourselves, we allowed ourselves to believe our human interaction, or well, our vampire interaction and witch interaction all stemmed from a human being.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Well, Kevin, you are a delightful, insightful, beautiful person. Thank you for speaking with us. Kristen, do you want to wrap it up for us?
Yep. So we ask everybody this question, and that is, when you think about your experience on True Blood, from your perspective, if you could pick three words that come to mind to describe that experience?
It's a great question. I would say my three words would be love, emotion. I guess love is an emotion.
That's fair enough.
It's broadening of it.
Yeah, yeah, you can get four words if you want.
difficult. It was a difficult show to do. Yeah. It was hard. I remember those cold nights. I remember you particularly, Kristen, on those cold nights wearing nothing, basically, and then having to suck on ice cubes so that the fog doesn't
to save the money in show post.
And I guess my last word would be friendship. I made a really good friend in Nelson. And he was actually the first person in the industry where I was like, you know, we're journeymen in what we do, and we invest our souls for those moments, and we move on, and we take friendships, we take niceties, we take memories. Yeah. But it's not often that you take a friend. You know, in the truest sense. Mm. And I felt with that experience, he was the first time that I was like, oh, I can also have friends in this business. Like friends, like not an acquaintance, not somebody that you're just nice to, you know?
Right.
Like someone you can be like, fuck man, I'm having a fucking terrible time right now. What do I do?
Right.
You know? And I'll leave you guys with this. My last day of shooting, Nelson came to my room. It was almost like it was beautiful. It was like a script, the way you open the movie and the way you close the movie, right? So I opened the movie with Nelson and that light knock on the door saying, welcome to the show, you know, you're my guy. And I end the show with that same knock. And him coming into my trailer with this giant thing that's wrapped up, and it's a True Blood poster that he had everyone sign for me that he got framed, and on the inside of it, of the wrapping, it was like the paper bag kind of wrapping. He had written this really beautiful thing about, and I won't share exactly what his words were, but it was along the lines of the experience that he loved, the person that he grew to fall in love with, and how appreciative he was of our experience together.
Wow.
And it was a beautiful opening and closing to our experience.
Thank you, Kevin. So, thank you for everything.
Thank you. I should have brought
Thank
tissues.
You guys so much for doing this.
I'm weepy. How dare you?
Me too.
Deb.
Oh, we're both emotional. I think this was...
We're both so emotional.
I was just thinking, this is one of our most sort of thoughtful and emotional interviews. It really went to an interesting, beautiful place. And I think so much of that, we were talking about actors' hearts shining through in their performances. Mm-hmm. And Kevin is one of those actors. He just is. That beautiful heart that you all just heard express itself so eloquently. Yeah. You feel that in Jesus, and it's part of why the performance is so spectacular.
I know. I was thinking the same thing in the interview. I was like, wow, this guy is really just about love and communication and sharing and creativity. And that's what I loved and saw in Jesus, and I'm feeling it right now. It's just a wonderful...
He's a healing presence. Kevin and Jesus. So as Kevin himself said, he was kind of the perfect person because he feels healing. You feel very seen and loved around him. Yeah. What an extraordinary human being.
I know. I feel for him because empathic people, really, it's not always easy to walk this earth being one of those people. But that was really lovely. I'm very, very grateful for doing this podcast and getting to know all these people I didn't get to know. Next time on Truest Blood, we have the American Vampire League spokeswoman herself on the line. The brilliant Jessica Tuck graces us with her presence and shares her experience navigating the twists and turns of vampire politics and espionage.
I can't wait to hear how she pulled it off. So thanks for listening, Truvies. Subscribe and follow wherever you listen to your podcasts, and we'll see you next week.
Y'all come back now, you hear.
Truest Blood is produced by Safe Haven for HBO. Executive producers are Jamina Gavankar, Kristen Bauer, and Deborah Ann Wool. Our producer is Gabrielle Galan, and our audio producer is Christopher Wool. Our theme song was recorded just for this podcast by Jace Everett. Additional music was composed by Timo Chen. And remember, you can watch all of the original episodes of True Blood on Max.